much impact can a jar of peanut butter really have? I'm your host, Ruth Vitok, and in this episode of the Tomorrow Brands podcast, we continue our series on entrepreneurial thinking by exploring one of our favorite principles, small details, not just big ideas. When it comes to details, few do it better than Pip and Nut. Today, I'm joined by Jacqueline Ellis-Jones, Marketing Director at Pip and Nut, a brand that's quietly built a joyful, obsessive, nut-powered world from a market stall to 20,000 stores across the UK. This is a conversation about craft, care, and what happens when a team really sweats the small stuff. Hi, Jack. Thank you for joining us. Let's start with just a bit of a brief history on you, your background.
Career began steeped in Guinness, actually. So it was St. Patrick's Day. That was the big campaign that I was looking after. It was the biggest campaign of the year at Diageo, and certainly a baptism of fire. Diageo really drilled into me the importance of brand building and just really understanding what makes people love a brand. And that's just stuck with me ever since. After Guinness, I continued to work in the world of consumer goods. So I was working on brands like Orangina. So one of the key projects I worked on at Orangina was bringing back the iconic Shake It to Wake It. And at that point, the plastic bottle was the hero of the portfolio. But I really wanted to bring back that baldy shaped bottle and make that a star of the ad campaign. It was really about reminding people why they loved Orangina in the first place by bringing to life that Mediterranean experience. And then I did try my hand at building a couple of startups. Let's just say they were valuable learning experiences. And I also took a detour into the nonprofit world. I led campaigns like the Great Daffodil Peel for Marie Curie. And obviously, that's incredibly rewarding to use marketing to drive fundraising and for such a good cause. But the key thread about working with brands that I connect with, in my 20s, it was Diageo, so it was all about the partying. And that's still a big part of me, to be totally honest. But now, most recently, just drawn to brands that create really delicious products, but healthy ones, and essentially good for the planet. So that's why I've really enjoyed working with Ellis Kitchen, where I was for like 3.5 years. And for the past 5.5 years, I have been at Pip and Nut.
Lovely. I love that Orangina example because that just rings so true to me as well. It just brings back so many memories. And so Pip and Nut, I'm sure most people listening will be aware of the brand, but maybe not the history. So it'd be great to hear a little bit about, you know, where it started, how it's going.
So Pip started the brand in 2013. So she was a marathon runner and she was looking for products that met her needs. So she was in her early 20s. She looked on the shelves and everything was kind of stuffed either with palm oil or sugar and not necessarily contemporary and something that appealed to her. So she started whipping up her own nut butters at home. So we still have her blender in the kitchen, and she started selling them at Maltby Street Market. She had a full-time job, and then her weekends were spent at Maltby Street Market. And I think during that process, it really confirmed that there was a market for something that was delicious, all natural, and something that was just a little bit more contemporary. She entered a competition that was run by Skate to the City, and she won that crucial springboard, which was rent-free space and some resources, which enabled her to give up her job and really commit herself to Pip and Nut. Our first listing was in Selfridges, and that was in January 2015. And if you look at it now, we've kind of gone from this kitchen creation to this huge brand now, over 20,000 stores in the UK. And I think it just does, in point, talking about the small things, it does highlight the power of starting small and listening to consumers' needs and testing and being agile and not necessarily trying to launch brand into Sainsbury's straight away. It's just building up to it. And yeah, she's transformed what was a passion project into, you know, thriving business. We want to be the nation's favourite natural nut brand.
Nice. And that leads quite nicely into the theme of this episode, which is big ideas, small details. And I guess from that, perhaps that the big idea behind the brand is nuts and being the big nut brand. How did it give a couple of examples? Because I know you guys do this really well of how that then translates into some smaller ideas and some touch points throughout the brand.
Yeah. Well, I guess the bigger idea, like you said, has to be the starting point. And our obsession is the nuts. But we also have this concept of squirrel energy. And that's really a philosophy of the brand that originated right from the very beginning. So that's all about quick thinking, resourcefulness, and that positive spirit, and what we call the positive squirrel energy. And that resonates obviously through the logo. But I guess some of the examples that we bring that to life probably start with our favourite thing. We were looking back at all the brand codes and all the things that we've done since we launched the brand. And actually what we call our VIP squirrel box is still up there with one of the most favourite things that we've done. And essentially what this was, we were looking for a box to send samples out. And we thought, we can't just do any old box. You know, there has to be something really distinctive, particularly if we want people to post it on Instagram and really engage with the brand and to understand who we are and what we stand for. And so we designed this squirrel carrier, which is like a carrier that you would take your cat to the vet in or something, but obviously designed for squirrels. It's got this big logo on the front which says caution, may contain squirrels. It doesn't necessarily instantly look like something from a food brand, but it would definitely get your attention. And on there, there's these little nuances that help bring the brand to life. And that is something that we have gone back and forth when we've launched limited editions. We've experimented with using different press and influencer boxes, and we've just come back to those because we're actually, not many people have received a squirrel box. So let's just do that again. I think that sometimes the small things tend to be perceived as tactical and something that you might just do as a one-off, whereas actually the small things, we consistently do it and we just repeat it. It's just go again.
And who knew that squirrel was such a rich creative territory?
It's massive.
It's massive because we're in your offices today, and that just here is quite a good execution of squirrel energy.
It is, yes. Of squirrel touch.
Meeting room name. I mean, there's a sign right in front of me saying squirrelologist PhD.
Yes. That was from one of our events. But yeah, there's a lot of squirrel energy that happens at the Nest, for sure, both within the people and on the walls.
And your job title, am I right?
Yes, we all have squirrel titles. So I am Curious Squirrel, obviously curious about consumers. Okay. So there's lots of fun, rich territory. Our all hands meeting is called all paws meeting. Our company off-site, which we're going to in July, is called Camp Nuts. This is, we're sat in the Red Squirrel Room. So what better room to wish for today?
Can you talk to me a little bit about your experiential activity? Because I know you guys have done some great activations.
Most recently, we did the Love Lab, which was really based on that obsessiveness that diehard fans of peanut butter have for the product, and not just the pip and nut, just for peanut butter. If you know. It was in February, so we felt like, okay, let's connect the love as well as the cultural event and create this event called the Love Lab. So people could come and mix up their own concoctions of nut butter. So we had various recipes that they could do, and they were taught how to make nut butter by the squirrelologist.
Right.
Yeah, hence the squirrelologist PhD. As soon as you walked in, it was just this absolutely every touch point, from the squirrel paws on the floor to the squirrel pens that people had to write in their name when they entered. We had a post box that people could post our new snacks at the time, on nut butter cups, to their loved ones. So we had squirrel Valentine's cards created, and people could pop a nut butter cup in, write whoever, whatever message they wanted, and we would post it for free to them. We had a calligrapher there who was creating people's personalized jars, so people could walk away with a Ruth's crunchy peanut butter jar for free. So yeah, lots and lots of detail. And I think we took inspiration from the Harry Potter world. We were just like, actually, even though this is a tiny space and we had about £40,000 to spend on the whole event for 5 days, tight budgets, we just wanted to be really, really detailed with every single touch point.
Yeah, do you think in a way, that's the kind of upside of having tight budgets, is that why you end up sweating the small details? Because budget's limited, everything has to work really hard. And I wonder sometimes if with the bigger brands, when they've got more spend on an event, it doesn't matter as much. And
yeah, totally. And I also think we either work very collaboratively with our agencies, or a lot of the stuff we do in-house. I mean, we brainstormed a lot of those ideas and the concept the day after our Christmas party. We put the event on in February. No one will care more than you guys working on the brand day in and day out. So whilst there are fabulous agencies that will come in and engage and help and support and bring a level of expertise that nobody has in the team, and we all need that, that passion and that obsessiveness that we have about the brand, we wanted to just pull that into the actual event experience. And we do obsess over the detail.
So let's chat about packaging, because obviously packaging is such an effective and important tool for any marketeer. It'd be great to hear how Pip and Nut do packaging.
Well, I think we have never changed our logo. So that is the consistency that we have. But we have changed our packaging, and we do continue to iterate. And because it is the single most important thing that we all do, and particularly as a brand which doesn't have a lot of ATL budgets, your packaging is so, so important in this relentless pursuit for improvement. We embossed the jar with natural nuttiness. The underneath of the jar is embossed with Made by Pip, just as those fine nuances of brand touches. So we introduced some animation. We work with an artist called Bernardo. He's fantastic. He's created some illustrations where we do our storytelling inside our nut butter cups. You open a packet of nut butter cups, and on the U-board, it's not just plain white. There's something to make you smile. So yeah, we do obsess around the design, and we do tweak and iterate that and change that up. And then the environmental impact of the packaging. We did change from plastic to glass on our jars, and we now have all FSC certified packaging in terms of the materials that we use. There's a level of obsession to the point everyone's like, oh god, we're not doing another pack iteration, are we, again?
Like, yes, it never stops.
Yes, we are.
And then moving on to another P, product. And you mentioned that you've got some MPD coming out in a new category.
Yes, well, it will be launched by the time this podcast is live. So it's literally all hands on deck at the business at the moment. We are launching into the cereal bars category, which is a huge category with lots of big, big players. So quite scary. And probably we didn't really do it for many years, because I think we constantly, and we would speak to people and they would say, don't go into bars. What are you doing going to bars? But then we would just taste all these products that were peanut butter products and just feel so frustrated that there wasn't one that tasted as delicious as we thought we could create. So we ignored the advice from lots of people not to launch into the category of bars. And it did take us 4 years, but we have got the most incredible product. It is called Peanut Butter Stuffed Oat Bar. So we've been really inspired with our first range from our community of people who buy our brand, and obviously they eat peanut butter a lot with porridge, and it's those drizzles and dollops of peanut butter and a nice bowl of porridge. And so that's really been the inspiration behind the range. And so it's an oat bar stuffed with peanut butter.
We've got some in front of us. I just got to try some. That is, can confirm, delicious.
Just worth saying, in terms of the small details over the product quality and the product iteration, our nut butters, for example, we obsess about the level of salt that's in our nut butters, because, you know, there's in the core nut butters, it's just the nuts and a sprinkle of sea salt. But actually, we do obsess about, is it 0.6% of sea salt, or is it 0.8%, or is it 1%? So, you know, just that fine detail, because it can actually make a huge difference in terms of propensity to purchase. And we do huge national statistical surveys on that, on such a tiny detail, because it can help shift the diet in terms of retention and the brand.
I have to say that the salt, sugar, sweet and salty, the balance of that is spot on. And we get through probably a jar a week in my house, and I'm not even exaggerating.
Yeah. That was probably our most complicated product to get right. I'm glad we've got it spot on.
It's interesting, because we've talked about small detail, but a word that's come up a bit is obsession. And yeah. I guess it's sort of the two things are interlinked. It's the level of obsession that everyone in the team has for the brand that goes into them being really focused on those small details, because you want to see everything through to be as good as it can be.
Absolutely.
And that plays out to its natural conclusion, which is every touch point has then been considered.
Yeah.
And it shows you that someone cares. The obsession comes through, and I think that gives people trust in the brand.
Yeah.
And you mentioned being inspired by consumers. Yeah. Do you have a squirrel name for them?
We have lots of squirrel names for them. They are all called Scribbles.
Scribbles.
And our database of consumers that we communicate with are called Scurry.
Oh, nice.
And then we have a panel of just under 200 consumers who are called Secret Scrolls. So this was something that was put in place 5 years ago, and it's really a community, not just fans, we do try and make sure that we're not just listening to people who love our brand, right? Because that's not going to get us anywhere. I mean, it helps us understand why they love our brand versus other competitors, but it doesn't enable you to stretch and grow where we want to go, which is obviously improve more people. So we talk to people who are just fans of the brand, like they might buy other brands. And we talk right down to people who maybe occasionally bought us once a year. So our secret squirrels do make up a combination of consumers to make sure that we're getting the right insight.
So I wanted to finish off with asking about your principles, or Pep and Nut's principles, that you would add to our list of the principles of entrepreneurial thinking.
Yeah, because we have values at Pep and Nut, four values, which do translate through to everything that we do. So the first value to talk about is keep it real. When it comes to marketing, as to how I would translate that principle is, no one cares as much about your brand as you do. Always remember that, and don't become so wrapped up in how wonderful your brand is that you think that everybody else gives a shit about it. Really instills an ethic in our team to work hard to grab people's attention and to earn attention. So you've always got to try and add value, whether that's being useful or entertaining. Never settle. I think that's something, hopefully, we're talking about small details and that obsessiveness that we have about the products, every single touch point and the brand. And so that never settle. We need to be a little bit careful with that sometimes, that doesn't burn us all out. Bring the fun. It's so important now more than ever that we just have a little bit of lightness with the brand and the world of marketing and make people smile. So we feel really proud that particularly within the Nuts category, we really think we own that in terms of bringing the fun and bringing that lightness to the category, and then be open. And that's the transparency piece. So being a brand that's full of integrity and transparency, you know, that is super, super important. So we publish an impact report. Obviously, that's one of our B Corp commitments as well, as a B Corp certified brand. But just making sure that we fess up as well if we get it wrong, and also we share some of the learnings. So, for example, our kilo, we had this on the radar to change this to a sustainable pack format, but we just can't find a feasible sustainable pack format, and it's really frustrating. But it's just making sure that we fess up on that, and we talk about it on our impact report, and we explain that we don't think we're done, and there's work to be done, but we're not there yet. So yeah, they're probably the good marketing principles.
Love it. I think that's a great place to finish. Thank you very much for coming and sharing all that squirrel energy with us. Tomorrow brands, building the brands of tomorrow.